The Better on Draft podcast is recorded live in Detroit Sound Studios in Royal Oak, Michigan.
Now, pop that 40 and kick back with your hosts, Dan, Nick, Ken, Rob, and Matt.
Welcome to episode number 56 of Better on Draft. I'm obviously not Ken. He's not here, so we're going to just do whatever we want.
Let's just get that over right now.
Yeah, not going to pretend to be him because I'm completely different, so we're not going to go there. Good guy. I love Ken. I'm not even trying to rip on him.
Liar.
Grateful. No, whoa, who is this? I heard a voice I haven't heard in like 18 weeks.
Why don't you go do the intros and we'll get that part.
Yeah, well, let's go ahead and do that since we got a new host here in the show. Nick, right. How are you doing?
Going back from part-time to full-time, man.
What's it been, about 8 weeks since you've been here?
It seems like that. Well, I would have been here 2 weeks ago, but I had a family emergency. I had to take my mom to the emergency room.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's no fun.
And then last week I was in Florida.
Why?
Wedding.
How many weddings do you go? Okay, hold on. Right. You've been to like 8 weddings in the last 9 weeks. Well,
we were actually doing the show last year. Last year, I did like 8 weddings in the summer last year, like 8 weddings. Yeah, that was fucking nerve wracking. And then I think we've been to like 4 this year.
At that point, I just tell people to go screw themselves many. It's like, I'm not going to that many weddings.
This wedding was actually pretty cool. So, yeah.
So what are you drinking over there?
Right now, I got myself a Southern Tier chocolate with a K, and it's only 7 letters.
Chocolate.
I don't know. It's good.
It's not like you're choking.
Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff.
I know. Probably.
Rob, what's going on, man?
I may be choking. I don't know.
You might be. What's going on, man?
Chilling. What are you doing? What are you drinking over there? How's life?
Life is good. You know,
Sorry,
just kind of
disaster. You know, he's gonna be like, shut the show down. Like, what are you guys doing?
What is this? Second week in a married life, and
that's all it's been so far.
Yeah.
No, I didn't realize.
Are you crossing off the weekend as you go?
He's like a prisoner counting the number of days that he gets released.
Well, no, it's just the funny thing about it is that it's the second week, and the ring is already broken.
Yours or hers or
mine? So basically,
intentionally, right?
The way
intentional.
Sorry, not married anymore.
So the way the ring is designed is that it's one kind of big ring that's kind of conical, and it's got two copper rings on the inside of it that spin. One has her birthstone, one has my birthstone, and something happened where I was just driving to work I was driving to do one of my trivia shows, and I remembered that the one ring that has my birthstone was kind of at the palm of my hand, because I remember when I closed my fist, I felt it down there. I started driving, and I'm like, well, you know what? I need to spin that thing back around. So I go, and I'm looking at my hand.
Gone.
I'm like, well, where the hell is the stone? And sure enough, it's just flat out gone.
So it never crossed your mind whatsoever to not get a ring with moving parts?
Well, that was bound to break.
Those are a thing, though.
It's going to break and cost more money to fix. That's what's going on there.
There's a lot of symbolism behind the rings.
With moving parts?
Yes.
Get some spinners on there.
Yeah, exactly. They spin.
I must be disconnected from reality. I'd be like, yeah, that's going to break. Would it take 2 weeks? And
yeah.
There you go.
I sit there and just spin both of them and just kind of crouch down. It's like, yeah, they spinning. Look at them.
As the rock shoots off.
And now, yes. Yeah. And well, good thing that they are birthstones, but apparently my birthstone, being the opal, is apparently the most expensive of them.
Oh, yours isn't the cubic zirconia?
No. Oh, my gosh.
So it has been sent back, and the maker of both of our rings, she took them both back and is hopefully doing some sort of adjustments to make sure that does not happen.
Say warranty better be covering.
Yeah, I hope that doesn't happen again. We do have another special guest, Harambe.
Harambe is back from the dead.
Shut up, the hero Charles. We didn't know we needed. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. I don't know how Harambe would talk, so I'm just going to talk
in a world where children aren't safe.
He doesn't need to talk. He's busy saving the world.
I would have envisioned Harambe with a British accent, personally.
Exactly.
Like Senegalese or something?
Yeah.
Like
that.
So remember, he took a shot for all of you. So.
Right. Exactly.
So here's him.
So Harambe, what are you drinking?
I've got a PBR.
Very Harambe.
Keeping it simple.
I'm keeping it Cincinnati classy.
I mean, yeah, it is.
Cincinnati classy. Wow, is that a thing?
Yeah.
Well, I think it's about PBR-ish. Yeah.
It is now.
When you're in the natty. I mean.
Like the natty daddy.
You don't drink the natty daddy while you're in the natty.
No. Nick wasn't here for that.
I was here for the natty daddy.
No, you weren't here last. We played five questions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The mystery beer was natty daddy, and I pulled it out at the end. He thought he won, and I almost said natty light, and then I was like, no, this is too.
Joke's on you.
Unreal.
We actually do have a guest here today. We didn't have one last week, right? I think
we did.
This week's kind of blurred apart. No, we didn't have a guest because it was like noon.
Oh, that's right. We were supposed to.
Noon in a sweatshop.
We were supposed to have a guest last week.
Go ahead and introduce yourself. Tell us where you're from.
Hi there. I'm Spencer Channel from Dragonmead Microbrewery.
Dragonmead.
All right. Great place.
Thank you.
What do you do there?
I'm a brewer.
You're the brewer. Are you the head brewer? Are you one of the brewers?
One of three. We have a production manager and two brewers.
Nice. So you're the guy responsible when I come in for the Dark Mild that you make or the ESB London Brown. Excellent. So you guys have been around for a long time. How long have you been there?
Since 97.
That's how long you've been there, right? How long's the brewery been there?
97.
Oh, so that's when it opened.
We're almost 20 years old.
Wow. So, great times. Yeah. I was going to say, I graduated from high school in 97. I don't even think I could legally drink back then.
Oh, well, I was 16 as a barback.
Were you really? Yeah. Wow. It's excellent. So,
goodness.
So tell us a little bit about your process there. What do you do? Like, you guys have so many beers. That's one thing that's always blown my mind about Dragonmead.
Yes.
You have four times the beers of what you'll see anywhere else. Do you have a set rotation? What is it? What do you decide to make it? What's your whole process there? What you have coming out?
How do you do it?
Yeah, how do you make so many beers at once?
We want to have about 52 beers on tap at all times.
Wow.
And we do that by having a very small system, as well as the big one now. So when we want to make new beers, we want to figure out what goes in the rotation. We just simply don't want to run out of something.
Mm-mm.
Excuse me. So we have a three-barrel brew house and... You know, you can't really change the time it takes to make a beer.
Right.
You know, it's going to take you 6 hours or so to make that beer. And if you have a one-pot brew system or a combi system, it's going to take you 6 hours, and then you're going to make another beer. That's going to take 6 hours. We have a five-pot brew system, which means it only takes us an additional hour and a half or 2 hours to make the next beer. So as one beer goes to the mash, beer goes from the mash to the lauter tun, separate a lauter tun and a mash tun. New beer goes into the mash tun. We have two beers going on. It's only going to take me an hour and a half longer to make two.
As opposed to if you did two separate times.
It'll take me 12 hours.
12 hours. Yeah. See, I learned something in operations management is about, you know, doing things in parallel. So.
Yeah.
At least my MBA is actually starting to pay off a little bit.
Oh,
well, I haven't gotten it yet. I got another 2 years.
I was going to say, that's a lie.
I'm physically not paying for it, so thanks, work. I appreciate it.
Yeah,
fair.
Tell me about it. Getting them damn degrees, still paying that shit off.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
So the thing that I'm always curious about, you guys have a handful there. Most breweries... You have at least one. Maybe you have more than one.
We usually have we used to have two all the time, and that got a little it started going bad after a while, so we just have one now. And we changed it up, and our two handful system is actually what we bring to festivals.
Nice, because I was in there probably about a month ago. Nothing was on it. I was a little disappointed.
I put it on Monday, and if it's later on in the week, it'll be out.
Well, I would assume it. You use a firkin I'm using? I'm assuming? Okay.
Yeah, so it's only 5.3 gallons.
So you're, that's not going to, normally, I want to say the bigger ones, the firkins are like 10, 11, something like that. And they go bad quick, don't they? If you don't have the system to.
We do put a CO2 blanket on top of them.
Okay, so
you'll
keep
them longer, but just without any pressure. I would drink them longer, but they're not perfect longer. And we're not going to sell anything that's not perfect.
What do you usually put on there? Is it various things?
Anything English or American.
English ale.
Yeah. That's like right up your alley.
We can't do the Belgian things, and the German things taste weird. Mm. Belgian beers, they rely on the CO2 as well as high alcohol and the hops to bitter the beer or to balance the beer. So if you have a flat Belgian ale, you know, Belgian triple, it always kind of tastes weird. You don't have that carbonic acid to come in. But with English ales, you can have them flat and it's fine. There's not much CO2 reliance on it.
Now you have some new things in front of us. What would you bring in? And
I have a Devil's Night, which is our pumpkin ale, which is
a picture of a burning house in Highland Park. Too soon.
Come on.
Come on, where are we at?
That's Angel's Night starts tonight.
It used to be called Little Grumpkin's Pumpkin, and we all hated that name.
It sounded really, really adorable.
Yeah, it was named after an ex-brewer's a daughter. But we wanted to package it, so there's no way we're going to sell something called Little Grumpkins.
Right.
But we wanted a good Detroit name, and we thought Devil's Night. But we wanted a Dragon Mead name, so we turned the night into a K for Knight.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So it's a little...
Grumpkin kind of sounds like something you do in the morning at Taco Bell.
After a night of drinking, then the 3 a.m. Taco right Bell. Mm.
So a couple of us are drinking that. You already got that. I know, Rob, you're the one that poured me. So what do you think of it?
So far, I'm really liking it. I'm very, very critical about pumpkin beers. Mm. And
is that your thing?
There's so many that get it wrong. Ones that I don't like. I don't like the one from Southern Tier. Shipyard.
Of course you do.
Yeah, I know.
I haven't tried the one from Epic yet, so I'm still kind of looking for that one. But pretty much I'm really enjoying this one. Between this one and there was one, the one that I had at the Beer Fest last week, the 100-pound pumpkin from Gravel Bottom, and both of them... Both of these are pretty good.
This seems pretty mellow.
Yeah, that's kind of what I like about it is that it's more mellow. It's not high. Here's the pumpkin, and like the jack-o'-lantern's getting smashed over your head.
That's the idea of that one. You know, we don't want to overly spice anything.
Right.
We want it to be beer first, and then we'll remind you there's some spice in it.
Yeah.
This is the worst day at the brewery is the day when I'm making this one. You have to put about 150 pounds of pumpkin in
it. Oh, the whole place smells like it.
I'm coated, you know, like arm down, like I just like did an inspection on a cow or something with pumpkin.
Oh, Lord. Wow.
The cleanup for something like that, for a pumpkin ale, regardless of the brewery you're at, has just got to be so tedious to clean up to get it ready for the next whatever it is that you're brewing.
Yeah, just the external cleanup, let alone the inside. I mean, and you can't sparge through pumpkin. It's a real pain in the butt. It's like trying to draw water through mashed potatoes.
Just really, really thick.
There's no husk really to anything in there. So you're just trying to squeeze water through mashed potatoes. It just doesn't work.
I love me some mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I know, I do too.
Man.
But yeah, it's a pain in the ass day, but I really enjoy the product at the end of it.
This is good. I like it.
This is like you said, it's pretty mild. I mean, it's like when you have a pumpkin pie, you should pretty much have a pumpkin explosion.
Yeah.
A pumpkin beer should not be pumpkin pie.
Does that happen a lot though? Because from someone who doesn't drink that, does it happen where you get smacked in the face with a 100-pound pumpkin? Just that one go.
Thankfully, unlike Gravel Bottom's name, it's not like that. But I mean, there are quite a few, I think, that does that.
That's terrible.
It's just.
There's a lot of beers in general, though, that do, and that kind of does drive me nuts. Unless it's something you really want to drink.
We talked about it. Like, I think I remember it last year around this time, where the pumpkin beer craze, obviously in full swing, that it's huge, especially here in, you know, in Michigan. You know, we got the fall colors going right now. People are thinking, hey, pumpkin pie, you know, all the fall stuff's coming out in full force now. And you know, you can only handle so much. You know, we were talking about before we started the show, only handle so much.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And I mean, heck, this is probably around the season where I actually start making pumpkin things in the kitchen. And
make any pumpkin pie yet?
Not make any pumpkin pie, but
around Thanksgiving,
I'm starting to get the pumpkin bourbon cheesecake requests coming in.
Oh, Lord!
And for those,
sounds really good.
I mean, there's like the first time I made it, I actually took the pumpkin puree and just went straight at it, and then it was just like, okay, there's way too much pumpkin and just not enough bourbon. And then I said, okay, the next
there's never too much bourbon.
I know, exactly.
Well, all the bourbon in the world.
It was the first time I made it, and I was following what I had, and I said, okay, this does not have enough bourbon. So then, obviously, I pretty much was like, okay, you're saying 3/4 of a cup. I'm going to say 1.5, and I'm going to bring that up. And I kind of started doing this thing where the pumpkin, where, okay, this pumpkin is way too damn wet, so I'm just going to dry all of this out. And it certainly, that drying out period just mellowed the whole thing out. And it's like, okay, here's the pumpkin. And then, okay, I'm kind of tipsy right now because now I've got all this bourbon that's in here. Mm. And it's like, that is exactly where it should be, is that that pumpkin should be mild. It shouldn't be
– right.
It should not be that 100-pound pumpkin that's smacking
you in the face. You do not take a whole, like, what pounds of, like, those big bags of sugar –
like a 5-pound thing of sugar?
You don't put a 5-pound thing of sugar and you put it in a pie, let alone a beer.
But you put you put a whole fifth of bourbon. That's okay. That's a different that's a different situation.
Fuck it. Let's do a handle of it. I don't give a shit. Let's do it.
I mean, it still has to be some sort of solid.
Yes. Come
in.
I agree.
If I'm not getting drunk while eating this, I don't want it. Take it away from me.
I'll figure out how to make a bourbon pie. We'll just take out the pumpkin.
Well, just screw the pie. We'll just drink the bourbon. Might as well do that at that point. We're talking about we have issues apparently. Ken goes away and we talk about drinking liquor and better on the top shelf.
Liquor on draft.
better on the bottom shelf.
I mean, I could have brought the 2 James. I mean, I still got that 10 year.
Oh my god.
I still have the Grass Widow. That has been.
Was that the other one? Was that the gin or was that?
No, no, that was the bourbon. Actually, that was the one, the first bottle I got when I helped bottle the first time. There was the barrel aged gin, which, yeah, I still have that. In fact, I still have a little bit of just about everything I've gotten from them. And now it's getting to a point where they have not needed any volunteers in the last month.
Oh, they're big time now.
They don't need volunteers, so now it's just like...
They don't need you anymore.
Now I got to pay for it. Damn.
Yeah, yeah. That's what happens when someone goes big time. They're like, oh, we don't need you no more.
But if I got to pay for it, it's worth it. Mm. For me, it's worth it.
They make the one in the mason jar that we were drinking at one point. Yeah, that was pretty good.
If I had more of that, that would probably go into that next cheesecake, would be using a 10-year.
Flashbacks to the early episodes where I was doing shots of Jaeger during the show before. It was pre-Rob. Oh, Nick knows what I'm talking about.
Yeah, let's not get into that.
Mm-hmm. No, we're going to keep moving on that.
Now, we do have something new that's, I guess, the Devil's Night's new, but also something brand new to bottling here from Dragon Mead. What's going on and why?
Yeah, this is a Castlebright Apricot Ale. It's been one of our more popular beers for a long time, and we were refusing to put it into bottles.
Is there a reason behind that?
We just didn't have the labels made up, and you got to buy a lot of labels at a time.
You guys don't bottle too much, do you? There isn't a whole lot.
Well, we have a Eric the Red, Under the Kilt Wee Heavy. Yeah,
Final.
Sin Eater Final.
The Crown Jewel.
Crown Jewels. Then we have our seasonals of Armageddon, Devil's Night, St. Nicole's Weizenbach. And
Oktoberfest.
Oktoberfest, Marzen, and Yule are Norwegian Christmas.
I guess you guys do kind of bottle a lot.
But over the course of all the, because
you talk about you had 50 plus beers on tap at any given time over the course of a year. I guess it's really not as much as, you know, what you would compared to other breweries, I guess you can say.
I would love to bottle them all. And what I was actually doing, like days that were light in the brew house, I would actually have a bottler just bottle up a keg of the Castlebright, and I bring it to other accounts as opposed to bringing a growler, and by the end of the day, it's all flat and gross. And so people started drinking all the rep beer for the apricot.
Of course they did.
And it became really popular, and everyone said, oh, this would be great. I'll take a case of this. And you're like, I can't give you a case of this. I can give you a sixer of it, but I can't give you a case of it.
Right.
So eventually we finally succumbed to everyone who was demanding some, you know, and fruit beers work really good in bottles. Mm. They, because you don't know when you put something on tap if you can get rid of the entire keg in a certain amount of time. You know, fruit beers go in waves. You know, you have one group of people that comes in for, you know, every Tuesday for a month and they'll drink, you know, 10 gallons of a fruit beer, mm-hmm. and then they won't be in for another time. And
right.
But people always want it. So, you know, it doesn't take up your tap list, and you still have a beer that has good flow.
Does it? You mentioned something, and going back a second, just you said something here about it not sitting really, really well in a keg.
Yeah.
Is that really common for fruit beers in general?
I mean, there's a couple that have a staple all the time. Well, apricot, for us, there's a couple of places that only they keep it all the time, and it's always on tap.
So it's probably never a problem.
Like you go to the Emery, and Soft Parade has a permit handle, and it's not mm-hmm. going to change, and they have a great following for it.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have a lot of fruit beers that will sell great, and then they just stop. You know, moods change, seasons change.
Right.
People feel mm-hmm. more fruity, less fruity, whatever they want to do about it.
I want my IPA.
Or the fruit itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Or just want to eat the fruit instead of drinking right. the beer mm-hmm. that tastes like the fruit.
Well, you guys want to try it?
Oh, yeah.
I'll have some Castle Bread. Absolutely. Yeah. Nick's going to go ahead and pass that around. So do you distribute those bottles everywhere? You mentioned all these bottles. I never have seen the majority of them. And
I live
next door to 8 Degrees.
Well, then you should 8 Degrees in Detroit or 8 Degrees in
Ferndale.
In Ferndale? Yeah. You should go yell at Powers about that one.
Is that?
And
I thought she told me someone else was there distributing. Maybe not.
Yeah, for 8 Degrees in Ferndale, that one's the Powers that does the distribution.
Oh, gotcha.
And
you know where you could probably find it, though, for sure?
Where?
At Zatuna Liquor.
Where are they at?
Rochester, just south of 59.
Who runs that place?
I think that's Jack and Gus.
Is it?
Jack and Gus.
Something about those guys. Do they sponsor the... Are you getting a little hot?
What is this
shirt you're wearing? Hold on. Now. We got a whole new conversation
wait
now.
Wait a second.
I wasn't expecting this.
Obviously, Matt is getting a little political here and pretty much kind of making his own brand.
This is not about politics.
I like it's an 84 shirt.
I mean, unless...
Well, that was the last good one.
The only way that shirt is not political is if Reagan is your middle name.
Well, it could be.
It's just funny.
You're like not a Reagan Bush, like 80.
It's like the Mondale year. Like, he was going to lose that election. Let's think about that for a second.
I mean, it's almost Tiger's color, so in 84, that's at least acceptable.
There you go. Yeah. Let's do that.
You're just missing the 80s generic, or not generic, but the 80s logo. I got some here, too, if anyone's
honestly,
looking
it's,
for some.
It's kind of brand newish. It was an ex-girlfriend's birthday present to me.
You just bought this?
No, I got it from my ex-girlfriend.
I found this on eBay.
Guys, look what I'm wearing.
Or does someone have a press for Reagan Bush 84?
I don't know.
Did someone freshly silkscreen that?
I got this in 2015.
Did you go on, like, one-hour tees or something like that?
80stees.com.
80stees.com.
This is, like, legit screen printing, too. This isn't just, like, pressed on, like, silkscreen. This is real stuff. So someone
authentic.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you I'm not the only one that bought this, because clearly they sold more than one. But
how do you know this? Wait,
I can't imagine they would have had a run of one shirt.
By the way, Ken, who is listening, he's been texting me the whole show, is very upset that we're drinking Castle Bright right now.
What's wrong with Castle Bright?
No, he's upset that we're drinking because
he's not here.
Okay, good.
No, there's nothing wrong with
you. Come here, Ken.
Get over here.
He's about almost probably as far as you could get. He's in Seattle. Yeah, so he's on the
Pacific Northwest.
Yep. Yeah, about as far as you can get from here.
Big and tough when you're in Seattle.
Yeah, big and tough. Oh, hold on. There's no one big and tough in Seattle. Let's wind that back a little bit. But as big and tough as you can get, hopefully no one in Seattle listens to the show. They're going to be like, listen to these fuckers.
At least the Seahawks. You know,
the Legion of Boom fans.
Yes. Yeah.
Cliff Averill.
The Legion of Pass Interference? Is that what we're talking about? That's
Or the Legion of Russell Wilson going 25 yards behind the line of scrimmage and only getting 2 yards?
That happens. Yeah. You're the Legion of whining, like what's Richard Sherman.
Oh, God. Don't get me started with that.
Yeah, that's all. Like I said, no one tough out that way. But anyways.
Wow.
Anyway.
So how is this Castle Bright been received in the market so far? Are you guys already into distribution in the department stores?
I told people that we were making it and all the counts that I go to sometimes. We instantly sold out before we made it.
So we
figured we're going to do it in the winter, do a soft opening for the beer, because there's no way we'd keep up with production in the summer.
Sure.
Right.
So if we can, you know, get the – you know, off-premise accounts that are going to actually carry the beer to have a back stock by the time that it's a popular beer again, we should be set. So
you guys typically don't want your beer on the floor in party stores.
No, I mean, everything's unpasteurized. Everything is, you know, 120 days is what I'll guarantee the beer to. Anything after that, I really don't want to see it on the floor.
Mm. Now, you talked about production in off-premise accounts. It's kind of crucial that people see this these new packages. So yeah. What's your strategy as a beer that wants to be in the cooler immediately and not something that wants to be out on the floor?
We tell the off-premise accounts that we won't sell to them if they don't keep it in the cooler. The beer is going to go bad if not, so I'm not going to sell someone a bad beer. It just makes us look bad.
Sure.
You know, if a beer was great when it left the door and they try a bad – I did a case with a place on 12 and 94. I think y'all might know of that particular location.
12 and 94. There's a gas station there.
Oh, I know. I know it is. The party store?
Yep.
I know. I don't go there, but I know exactly.
I'll share you the name.
It's a big party store.
Yeah.
12 – okay. I know where it is.
Yeah. And I had a friend call me up, and he sent me a picture of a Sir William's ESB that we bottle. And
love that beer.
And I did too. It's not a popular beer in bottles, unfortunately, but it's a great beer. ESBs are a tough thing for the off-premise market.
Sure. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Because everyone thinks bitter, and then they say,
I don't want to drink that.
But people love IPA.
Yeah.
Left a Funeral was by their place. That's what I brought here. I don't know if you guys had it a month ago. Like, keep going. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Anyways, went there, and he actually is my next door neighbor, but he texted me because he's a dummy, but he I could have just come over. But he showed me the beer, and it was gushing. And I said, when's that from? And I went over, and I took a look inside, and it was 2.5 years old.
Oh.
So I went into the store the next day, and it was like 72 degrees inside the building. It was nice and warm.
Yeah.
Looked at everything there. And this is older at that point than the son of the production manager. This was old beer. And so I bought a 4-pack incognito and opened it up in the brew house, and it gushed everywhere.
Oh, Lord.
Damn. And so we went there again and said, please take this off of the market. And he said, sure. And I went back there a week later, and it was back on the shelf again.
Still trying to sell it?
Yes.
2.5 years later?
So we tell Powers not to sell beer, you know, to a particular location, and we and I actually, anytime I go there, I'll buy, if something ends up being on the shelf there from us, I'll buy it all and I'll throw it in the dumpster outside.
Nice.
Oh, wow.
It's like, I don't want old beer. It makes us look bad. No one's going to know and pay attention to the date.
It does, right, because someone's going to buy that new to beer, never been to your space.
Yeah. And they're going to drink like this forever.
Yeah, they're like, I'm not going there. They make shitty beer.
Or they've been there one time. Now they know what they're looking for.
Yeah.
They grab it. But I mean, this account that I know, they do that with every beer. They have another store, like a sister store in the city, where they collect beer and then they ship it north. And this is kind of an issue.
That's how they're getting it.
Yes.
Oh, that makes sense. Okay, thanks.
The plot thickens.
Yeah.
Now, what you talked about Yule log? Is that what you're?
Oh, Yule. It's a Yule log with a funny little O thingy L. That's a Norwegian Christmas ale. Oh. And we're probably going to brew that next week or the week after.
It's very Christmas ale time.
Well,
he did say that, you know, about a month and a half for the
For Power's order in early December, they can get that beer and put it on the shelves. And it's a fantastic beer. It's great all winter long. And that's another one when I run out of the pumpkin ale, I keep that in my kegerator and downstairs too.
So you talk about the pumpkin ale. What are some of your other favorites that you guys make in house? Your personal favorites.
My personal favorite. I actually brought a growler for us all right here.
Sin Eater. Yeah, that's a good one.
I spent 10 days in Belgium actually developing the flavor profile for that particular beer.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I took
business trip.
Yep, it was the best business trip of my life. It was awesome. And, went to Belgium. Stayed in a apartment above a gay bar called Homo Erectus.
Wow.
It had the evolution of man chart like in front of it to the final homo that was Erectus at the very end.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the place was – they never stopped partying, which is
hard for in the middle of June. And
did you ever make it to Club Vandersex?
No, did not make it to Club Vandersex because I could not pronounce the safety word.
Okay.
Yeah.
Flugenkitchenhallen.
Flugenzinheimer. But,
oh, boy.
So went there, and I took a train to a different city in Belgium every single day. So I went to, like, going to try all the beers in Ostend. Going to try all the beers in Bruges.
So it was like a 10-day drinking
Where'd you binge. Stay? Were you in Brussels?
I was in Brussels.
Which God, Bruges is a trip from there. That's...
Yeah, well, it was only about an hour and a half by train.
Well, maybe I'm thinking that. No, you know, I'm thinking of Amsterdam. It's like a 3-hour
trip. Oh, yeah, no, I didn't get to...
He didn't get there.
So I could have
there's an interesting
Amsterdam
thing about
Belgium.
There's an interesting... concept they have going on. I don't know if you can see that from here, but this is a gay bar that I stay close to in
is that
Amsterdam.
Queers.
Yeah. So apparently, this is a normal thing over there, having stupid names like that, which is actually.
But they're probably some of the most hopping places in the city.
No, that place really was, and I don't know what was going on there.
Back when I was in college, we used to stream all our like dance music from a. It was called the Erection Selection, which was from it was from like a gay bar in London somewhere that was like a 24-hour dance club, and so we would stream our music from that like DJ's thing just because that was free in there and actually pretty good all like for their like 7 a.m.
it was 7 a.m. at the,
pretty
at
good
the club.
Yeah.
It's a good time. I can't.
Oh boy.
Well, maybe today I would complain about that. 10 years ago, I would be into that.
Yeah.
I'd be there.
So Sin Eater's a favorite of yours. What are the ones you enjoy?
I brought our Grand Cru, which is
it's another good one.
It's a fun one.
Yep.
And I actually have a light lager that I love. I did not bring it here today. It's not ready. Go. Yeah.
Reagan Bush says leave.
I wish it was ready, but we won't even filter a lager till it's all the sulfur smell has gone away.
Mm.
So we.
Do you have a name for that?
Angry Dragon.
Angry Dragon.
Yeah.
Isn't that something else, too?
Yes. And the owner that submitted the statement of process didn't catch it until well after the fact.
Like, isn't that involved smacking someone in the back of the head while they're doing?
I think it's just the
oh,
the
gosh.
I'm not going to describe it.
Go ahead and Google it.
If you're really curious on what it is, Google it right now. All right. Well,
Nick
Urban Thomas. Dictionary
no,
right
Urban.
Now.
Nick, no. Remember
just,
the last?
I'm not going to read it. I'm not going to read that loud. I'm just going to read it to myself.
I'm just saying.
Remember what happened
I'm
with
just
Blue
saying
waffles,
the last
Nick?
The last time you looked up something that was thrown out there. Hashtag blue waffle.
Yeah, I'm not reading.
Oh, there's no way there's a picture.
It's a GIF of it.
GIF.
I couldn't even imagine. Like, you pull up, you're watching it.
Oh, goodness.
Some kid would find that, trying to find dragons. And that's what the
Nick's on Pornhub.
But the owner thought that it Bill Robel, the owner that submits all the tax and trade bureau stuff, he thought that it was angry because it was prohibition.
Oh.
Is it, yeah,
the
dragon's angry because it's pre-prohibition. You know, it's a prohibition hogger.
Yeah,
he's angry about it.
Did you guys know what was going on with the name before you?
Oh yeah.
So you,
I guarantee everyone,
you threw this at him knowing that he's either going to shoot it down or we're going to have a dick joke on our hands.
100%. Yeah. And one day, a customer actually wrote down the description on a notepad and gave it to the bartender at night to put on his desk. For the morning.
Put this on the bottle. When you bottle this, put this description.
Yeah, it'll be like the back of the four-pack description right there.
Yeah. Now, are you going to have like a phallic picture on the
box? Oh, my
god! Kind of like...
Shut up.
It would at least be a dragon maybe shooting something out of his nose.
Oh, boy.
See,
fire.
Boy.
We're talking about fire.
We're talking about fire. Matt, you're supposed to stick with the beer names. You're not supposed to start going into design. You're going a little too far now.
Well, he didn't offer me to name it. I'll have to design it.
And everything should have stopped right there.
Now, one of my favorite things about your establishment is you have a lovely... portrait, if you will, in the gentleman's room?
Yes, which has been attempted to be stolen several times.
Oh, jeez.
Okay, like, this needs description.
Like it's on like almost a monthly basis. Is there an attempted theft on it where we like drill it into the wall? People come back with screwdrivers. And
oh my gosh!
It is a beautiful woman with like silver hair.
You can
on top of a dragon, but naked. And like to the point where like men will come in and say, make sure the men's bathroom's empty and bring their like wives in to look at it.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Yeah, I didn't know that was a thing. Yeah,
I know. Wow. I mean, I know the painting.
It's well, like my friend went into the bathroom right. And he says, "I want that photo."
Apparently, everyone says that,
which is why it gets like attempted, you know, theft all the time.
So. Surprised it hasn't disappeared. What have you done to make sure that doesn't happen?
People are usually too drunk to
make attempt to carry.
Once they get the gall to do it, then they're too drunk. Yeah.
We locked the doors that could go up the other way, and then it's hard to see someone like with a rolled up picture, you know, walking through.
Well, they take it out.
Like, hey, look what I'm doing.
He's like stuck in a
brought
shirt.
This here.
There's been some creative
me.
Attempts. There.
Wow. You can Google the photo, and like it comes up on Amazon for like $21.
Yeah, it's not like a freaking poster.
We can take it for free.
It's not like this is the Mona Lisa. You can just go on Amazon and get one.
Like Whistler's
mother.
I guess we should just leave a link, like or like a card,
QR code. Just put a QR code under it.
Yeah, if you want one. Here you go.
It's like the Jesus picture that the kid ruined, and then they just put a smiley face over it.
Is that the one the old lady?
Yeah,
like,
oh,
yeah.
Retarded Jesus. Like she's trying to fix it.
Did you just say retarded Jesus?
is that on that list of things you can't say on the radio?
No, I just said sorry.
We're only on the internet. We're allowed to do whatever we want.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right, cool.
If you see that picture, you know it is a retarded Jesus.
Oh yeah. What are they call it? Like, I don't know.
I don't think it was a Jesus. I think it was like someone else.
It was like a Jesus photo. I know that.
Well, yeah.
He's got a crown of thorns, and then he's got that. Now he's got that sideways.
They did something similar on in the movie Bean.
I mean, she tried.
Okay, we're talking.
She tried. Oh, sorry.
I know.
Oh,
yeah, it was Whistler's mother, and he gave like a bald head with a big nose.
You know when we quote, it also happened in Bean. You know that.
Hey, Rowan Atkinson's a very funny actor.
Was it Bean or Johnny English?
It was Bean.
Oh, the Bean movie?
Yeah, the Bean movie, yeah.
Or was it Mr. Bean's Vacation?
With Peter McNichol.
Okay.
Is that where he jumps in front of a train, and then he also goes to the, or after the organ harvesting party?
What?
Yeah, you gotta rewatch
what?
That.
What? Did you fall asleep party? Halfway through the movie and just like have your own dream?
It's a fucking comedy. What are you fucking talking about?
He ends up I'll tell you what, you can go back and rewatch it.
Are you talking about the movie Bean?
Yes, with Rowan Atkinson.
With Rowan Atkinson.
Yeah.
Organ harvesting party.
Yeah. Is that part of this movie?
Because he's on a train and he's like, he's talking to this guy. He's like, are you a drifter? Do you want to come with me? And he's, yeah.
Okay.
Yep. See, I know what I'm talking about.
You didn't. I was thinking.
I know how to locate the bean.
Yeah.
I'll look at it later.
I got nothing.
All right.
Anyways. Nothing. Meanwhile.
So quickly, where can we find Dragon Mead? Where is Dragon Mead?
It's 11 and Grossbeck right off of the service drive of 696.
Oh,
and you pretty much have that whole service drive to yourself, right? Or are you still neighbors?
We have a neighbor that has like the auto shop and all that there, which is actually convenient because I'll just walk across the street to fix my car.
I say car fix, go to work, not have to get a ride.
There's a lot of times someone's car breaks down and they just come into the pub and they never saw us before.
That's amazing. So
thing. There's a brewery here.
We have a lot of regular customers that come because their car broke down nearby.
Wow,
that sounds awesome.
And so then they're like, "Fix your car, and you're gonna get in it half hammered after."
Yeah. And then you get a DUI while you're driving.
That's like whenever I get like a tire repaired or something. That's what I always end up doing is like going to the closest bar.
I do the same.
Yeah.
Right. I really
it's
do.
Something to do. You're just sitting there at the shop waiting for your car to get fixed.
Sitting there waiting.
It's like, oh hell, there's a brewery right there. Just sit around and just drink some beer.
Yep.
Now, do you guys ever do anything on premise? Do you guys do anything at the establishment, parties, festivals?
We actually in the spring we're going to do a 20th birthday party.
Okay.
Hey.
We're going to brew a bunch of really neat things. We're doing the whole X beer line right now, which is we've gotten some clearance to make whatever we want and have one or two on tap all the time.
Oh,
nice.
So I have a raspberry wit on right now. My coffee stout started that way, and now it became a regular. I don't even think we're gonna have to keep the chocolate stout anymore because the coffee stout's pretty good. And,
Wow,
nice.
And so we have a lot of other beers that have been, kind of brought up, and we're gonna start making them all for this festival because we have the whole, we expanded the parking lot. We're gonna open that up for all the tents to come in and. Mm-hmm. And ticket system samples, firkins of everything. We used to have when we did the first Dragon Fest, we had 5 firkins.
that we just had like a whole Firkin station that he'd come by.
It's good time.
Yeah.
That seemed to be the theme this past Fall Fest where the Firkins were everywhere.
Yeah.
It's actually kind of cool.
Yeah, I think the superior way to do at least English beers.
Yeah, it is, without a doubt. Yeah. Problem is keeping them fresh.
Keeping
like
them
we
fresh,
talked about,
like,
24 hours later, like, if you don't can't put the CO2 on it, you're
yeah, you're not going to make your money back in a couple days with a Firkin.
But no,
if you can sell it all in one day, you're good. So,
now, do you guys, I know it's the rage. Do you guys barrel age anything? What's your process with that?
We do barrel. We actually don't have anything at this current moment in barrels. Stay tuned for a collab with Woodward Avenue and Dragonmead for some interesting barrel aged beers we're going to do with Valentine barrels.
Wow.
Oh.
And
do you know what kind, what's already in those barrels?
What will be in those? Oh, what was already in those barrels?
Yes.
Gin. It's the old Tom barrels.
Nice.
I actually got to give him a call tomorrow.
Can someone hand Nick a napkin, please?
Nick and his gin. But I'll tell you, we're going to go ahead and take a quick break here. We'll be right back with episode number 56. Am
yep.
I right?
You almost forgot.
You're right.
I almost forgot. I always forget. All right. Welcome back to episode number 56.
That music is tense, man.
It's good music.
I know.
I'm not Ken again. I know. I know. No offense, because I know he's listening. My music taste is a little bit better.
I feel bad for our listeners that'll download this and
why?
Later on because they
won't get
it.
The music.
Oh yeah, I would. I play good stuff. That's how it goes.
That's okay.
Episode number 56. Still talking to Spencer, right?
Yep.
I'm terrible thing. Sometimes that's my fault. Yeah. From Dragon Mead. What are we cracking? We're going to crack that Sin Eater? Or
oh,
what are
Sin
we doing?
Eater's coming.
Yeah, I know we talked about this. I know we talked about this when I ran out real quick. I'm like, I think we're going to open that.
Honestly, I didn't know what Matt was pointing at. I just felt
he
like
was pointing,
I had the point.
Matt was on it. Matt Rombe. Matt Rombe was
Matt
on it.
Matt Rombe.
Matt Rombe.
He's going out canvassing door to door.
Rombush.
He's going to go knock on doors after this.
Got the Sin Eater going around.
We got to shut down... Who was it? Mondale and Ferrero.
Oh my God.
This thing's got to shut down.
Geraldine's my home.
I had to think back. That was one of the worst blowouts in election history.
It actually,
when you
it
think
was.
About
still
it.
To this day,
49
still.
States. 50, is that 49. Ever?
Still, Mondale only won his home state.
Yeah, Minnesota.
Yeah,
that was it.
The blowout. Better go out and canvas. We can't have Mondale win. I mean,
so if we got the Sin Eater, can you mind if I crack another one here for us?
Yeah, oh,
of course.
I got one here. This is Stone Brewing's Enjoy by 103116.
All right, we have issues. What are we doing?
Tangerine IPA.
All right, crack it open. Yeah. Let's see.
Was
what's
that
going
the one
on.
They made fun of in the Super Bowl last year?
No, that was
the Beechwood.
The peach.
Oh, yeah.
What was it? It was peach pumpkin.
Yeah,
peach pumpkin ale.
Which apparently Miller bought.
It smells like flowers.
It already smells like flowers.
What's it called?
What you're even doing.
Stones Enjoy by 103116 Tangerine IPA. I'm sure if you look up Tangerine IPA.
See, now they had an Enjoy by that was a Tangerine IPA that was it was an Enjoy
it's a drink.
I think it was an Enjoy by Memorial Day. And that one I really enjoyed. So
Spencer, what do you think?
He's checking the nose.
Do you smell the fly? You smell the floral part of this.
It has some good stink about it.
Yeah.
Stink, but no stink.
Letting all the stink out.
Okay, Quagmire.
I was going to say, is this Family Guy? Was that Cleveland?
Yeah, that's Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, Cleveland.
Close the door. You're letting all the stink out.
I haven't had a sip yet. Does anyone out here? We're going to
pass them over here.
I'll pass them over here.
Again, as the drunk chick on Rock of Love once said, don't throw it.
I'm going to grab myself a Sin Eater in the process.
Yeah, can I get a cup, too, unless you want me to pour it in with a Sin Eater? Are we making...
No, what do we get?
The dirty rub?
Got to respect
that
our
would,
guests.
That the would, dirty rub? Oh, yes.
That was somebody flying over the table to...
No, I wouldn't do that. No, we had a show. We mixed Rubeus and
yep, that was Founders. That was Rubeus and Dirty Bastard.
Well, with consent, you can do that. But
no, I wouldn't want to mix these two. It's like complete opposite.
You're getting in Cosby territory with that.
Quaaludes? What am I mixing? Quaaludes and what?
No, it's just non-consensual.
Oh, I was like, Quaaludes and this?
What do you want me to go Jerry Sandusky? Is that what you want?
No.
Show them you love them?
Isn't that just go chill in the shower? Isn't that what you do?
Because you want to show them you love them.
Wow.
And now we go to Rob with the news.
I'm trying to even, look at this. Oh, I don't even have news music. I'm
great job,
right
Ken.
Now. I'm Ken.
Well, anyways.
I'm saying Ken didn't even have any news music so, for me. So
while Dan finds some music, tell us about what you guys are going to be doing for your Christmas, or your not Christmas, your birthday special.
Our birthday special, we're going to have a whole lot of beers, probably in early spring. As soon as things thaw out, we can have a parking lot party. It'll be our 20th birthday party, samples of everything that we make and then some.
Have you thought about doing it on the on that church parking lot across 696? Cause there's probably a little bit more room.
Oh, wait, actually, have you been, behind our, behind the brewery yet?
I have not.
Is there a parking lot back there?
Yeah. Yeah. We opened up the whole thing for a big parking lot. We'd probably run parking up and down Bunnert.
Okay.
Oh, nice.
And, something on that line. See if we can borrow some from Lampari across the street.
Right okay, on.
There you go. And so we're gonna have about 5 firkins set up for cask conditioned beers and all the experimental stuff we've been dying to try for a long time.
Any hidden gems or secrets that you might want to tell us about? Something that you have maybe up your sleeve, ready to go, or you're thinking about pushing for this? Any of these X beers you're thinking about?
Well, we have a couple beers that are currently conditioning for the spring, and even though Dragomead said that we're never going to do it, we gave in, and we have a bunch of sour ales ready to come out. We have a Berliner Weiss, and we have a Creek, and we have a what do they call raspberries?
Schnozberries.
Yeah, schnozberries.
Have you had any of these? Are they good?
I tried them earlier. They obviously haven't soured long enough yet. But everything that our brewer Jason has spearheaded that project, and right now everything tastes pretty fantastic. So we'll see how it turns out when we actually get some good sour things. We're gonna make a kombucha as well.
Ooh.
Our nice. Pub manager usually brings some of her own homemade kombucha, so I want to make a giant batch of kombucha with that and keep it hidden in a room where it can't infect anything.
Right. Way too much bacteria going on with that.
Yeah.
Are you guys having anybody else, or is it just going to be a Dragomead?
Just Dragomead. I was talking to some of the guys at Woodward Avenue about doing some kind of a birthday beer between New Holland, Dark Horse, Woodward Avenue, and us.
It's 4 people.
Because that's
4 people.
Four breweries. Typically, it's only just one
but
or two, right?
We were all part of that. Like, we'll all be turning 20 this year.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So we're thinking about doing some kind of a cool thing for the, you know, I guess I can't think of the word for 2 decades.
Bi-decadian
or whatever.
good enough.
Yeah.
So that works.
Yeah. So I think I have it now. So I have no idea what I just put on.
MTV News with Rob.
It's not even making noise.
I didn't hit the play button.
No, it's.
But say if you don't have, I had music queued up.
It's not even playing. So
here I got it.
Don't worry about the music. All right.
So Rob with the news. While Nick makes the music and everyone else.
Hold on, wait. I muted it on my computer. Now I got to do it.
No one's even going to hear it. So.
They'll hear it.
Wait a minute. Hold on a second. Why the hell is my news music the theme song from Doug?
That's where that's from.
All right.
Why not?
All right. Here we go. All
right.
Motherfucker.
All right, Rob, just start.
Let's just go through this.
All right. Oh, there it is. And now the news.
And so it's 3 seconds
in. Wow. Well, hey, that's the best I could do.
All right.
So obviously we got some crazy stuff going on right now with Yingling because.
Yeah, I saw this.
Is this going political?
This is going a little political, which and actually kind of funny as far as trivia is concerned, because apparently Sporkle has this thing where we kind of do this hashtag for Sporkle Strikes Again where we have a question about something, and the very next day something happens. And this was exactly that case, because I had this question about Yingling on Tuesday, and Wednesday an article came out as Yingling is now being put under a somewhat of a boycott because the owner is now backing Trump for president.
I'm sorry, hold on. Who had a criminal investigation reopened today? There's only one person that did that's running for president. It's not Donald Trump.
That Jill would be Stein, former Secretary Gary of Johnson. State Hillary Clinton.
There we go. Yes. So
I think anyone can support any of these people.
Yes.
I agree. It's a cluster. I mean,
voted for me.
This guy's even – guy's name is Dick Yuengling.
Yeah. So basically,
his name?
So
parents named him that. That's a fucked up. Yeah.
Dick Yuengling.
It's Richard.
Richard Dingling.
So
said, your last name was Hagen, Richard your Dingling. Name is Richard. Yeah.
So Eric Trump.
Hey, back away, Artie Lang.
I'm sorry.
Back away, Artie Lang.
I know. So Eric Trump, obviously Donald Trump's son, was at Yuengling this week doing a tour of the brewery with the billionaire, Richard Yuengling, not Richard Dingling. What's going on over here? And during the tour, the 73-year-old was pretty much make an endorsement. It was quoted as stating to Eric, "Our guys are behind your father. We need him in there." And essentially, obviously, once that got out, you know, Twitter has an absolute just
tirade
people about
use Twitter
this.
Still?
People still use the Twitter.
Go figures.
Yes. even for those who put too? The in front of Twitter, they still use the Twitter.
they're discontinuing Vines.
Is that one of those interwebs things?
That is one of those, yes. Yeah. Yes. So pretty much everything has gotten out on Twitter.
So,
and
so you would say people are a Twitter about this?
People are all a Twittered and a fluttered.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. See where you're going with that. So basically, people are stating that they're no longer going to drink it. There's now come out that certain bars in D.C. have stopped stocking the beer. Hmm. And there is a Pennsylvania state rep who apparently was a 17-year customer. And he has come out on Facebook basically stating, "I'm not normally one to call for boycotts, but I absolutely believe that how we spend our dollars is a reflection of our votes and our values. Supporting Yuengling Brewery that uses my dollars to bolster a man and an agenda that wants to punish me for being a member of the LGBT community and punish the black and brown members of our community for not being white."
All right, we can't talk about this. Rob, it kind of goes on about it, but we can't talk about this.
And really, it's not just to go on about
It's not the political part.
It's not the political part. It's kind of that that there's always these things about where something comes out where a CEO or president of a company is doing something like Chick-fil-A where, they came out and basically saying that they're anti-gay and they do not like the gay community, that, there's these boycotts that come out. And it's really just a question of how long do you even see a boycott like this lasting?
It never lasts.
I mean,
it doesn't.
And generally they don't. Yeah. But I guess if you look at it from, we'll say just come like a Vegas standpoint, we'll say after the election, over under 14 and a half days.
I'd say over under like 7 days from now.
Well, the election's 11 days from now.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah.
It's going to be over before the election.
It'll either be over before the election or right after.
If you're really boycotting a whole company over one person's views, whether they're at the top of that company or not, you have issues. I mean,
when's the last time you thought about Chick-fil-A being from Michigan?
When I was in Salt Lake City,
because they're all the way in Oakland, and
hold on, they just opened one.
Yeah, in Somerset Mall.
Yeah,
I ain't driving to Somerset Mall for Somerset.
I'm at Grand River in Southfield.
I'm not going to Somerset.
It's like
though.
I'm not boycotting. I'm just not driving my ass all the way.
Don't you have a Popeyes? Hold on, you have a Popeyes right there.
There's a Popeyes open at 9 Mile and Kelly like about a year ago, and I haven't gone to it yet.
I got a Popeyes and a KFC right across from one another. There's a chicken war going on Finkel.
Chicken war on Finkel.
My gosh.
Wow. All right, this is something only Rob can talk about.
From political to racist. Oh my gosh.
All right,
can we just fast forward like 16 minutes or at least like 30 seconds to the next topic?
Yeah, no, we're good. Like I said, we can't talk about this.
Just really quickly to add, this is the third, kind of company, corporation to be a part of something like this, especially involving Trump. You had Target, Chick-fil-A, I don't know.
All right, Trump doesn't make beer, so we're on our
As a brewer, stay out of politics.
Yeah. There you go.
He makes wine.
Take it from Spencer, guys.
So the wine people.
And he makes steaks that he sells out of sharp rooms.
And magazines. And Trump magazine. Well, I go read
and the
that.
Water. Don't forget right. about the water.
Oh, by the way, what happened to Sky water? Mall?
No, they went bankrupt. How do you go bankrupt as a Sky
Well,
magazine?
How do you go bankrupt when you have a 200-pound, 7-foot gorilla or Bigfoot that you can, like, lawn ornament?
I'm only, like 185.
No, not I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about what they would
sell. That's talking about you, bro.
I'm misreading those.
Marambe.
Wait a minute. Actually, hold on a second, because I almost forgot, because this was not in the news, but speaking of lawn ornaments, recently, obviously, you have Big Buck Brewing that is turning into the House of Urban Bowling.
Home of Urban Brewing, isn't it?
I don't know.
It's a bowling warehouse.
It's the bowling warehouse that's not the bowling warehouse.
And everyone wanted that, by the way, that freaking
and
bottle.
And suddenly, the bottle of that huge, like 75-foot tall bottle of beer went up for sale
and
didn't really even last that long. It was only for sale for maybe 3 minutes.
People have been asking for that bottle for
it's
10
been
years.
There for years.
It has ever since it was opened back when the Silverdome was still being used.
We've all been asking for it.
Who owned that property? And who owned that property before recently?
Big Buck still.
Still. So,
isn't the Gaylord one still open?
Yeah, probably. I mean, it's a little
sure. So they left it up. It's free. Or it's their same advertising for something they own anyways.
Right.
So no need to sell it or get rid of it.
Right.
But
yeah, the bottle went up for sale, and it immediately was purchased by Powers Distributing.
Was it?
How do you not know that?
No. Who wants to bet what beer is going to be put on that bottle?
Bud Light.
No, it'll be Miller Lite.
Bud Light.
Miller Lite with a bullet.
A bullet.
With a bullet.
Although it'll probably be changed every so often.
I think it's going to be Griffin Claw on it.
My thing is
bottle. They don't bottle.
Oh, they do bottle.
They
might not.
Tall bombers.
They might put
Miso Ornery.
Because Flying Buffalo comes out next week.
Oh, what about Miso Ornery? Hold on. Where can I get that?
I still have a bottle of that.
It's probably going to be Sam Adams on it.
I think it'll be Miller
Lite.
They sell out too hard.
We should take bets. We should ask all of our past guests and take bets on it.
Well, I mean, there's a question of
$5 a piece.
There's a question of what's going to be put on it.
Gambling ring?
Yeah.
I mean, the other question is, where is it going?
Probably right in front of their headquarters.
Right on top of the building. It's actually the third largest privately held solar field in Michigan. So they can just put it on top of that.
Huh.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I just thought.
The more you know.
Yeah.
I think it's all plastic, too. It's not, like, that heavy, is it? I mean, technically, we couldn't lift it, but relatively speaking, it's probably not that heavy.
I think it is all. I think it's all PVC.
Yeah. So put on top of a semi, drive it down 75.
Oh yeah, no.
Those, like Alan and his giraffe and Hangover 3.
But you have the inflatable ones, like Bell's always has the inflatable Cronin bottles
too,
which I've tried to steal a couple times.
See, now you can't hold it against people for trying to steal the picture.
Yeah. Oh, I have a. If I didn't know I can buy one for $20, I would try to steal one myself. Yeah. But yeah, the inflatable bottles, I mean, those are about the same size. They're half the same size. You can probably make one.
So Click on Detroit says that it's 45 feet high and weighs 20,000 pounds.
Oh, 45 feet high.
Oh, really?
It used to be a silo that used to hold grain.
Ah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I thought that was pretty common knowledge. Okay.
Yep. Hey,
someone's mic is off.
Yeah.
There we go. Sorry. That was the wrong way. Not intentional.
No one's on six. I think that was
that so, that's the one I was trying to. Is
it
six?
How much you
no one's on six.
For?
Okay. Yeah, there actually, it was undisclosed, sorry. But sources are saying anywhere between 10 to 15K.
Jesus Christ.
For a 45-foot bottle.
Yeah. I'll tell you guys in a few days. If you want.
They spend their money on the dumbest thing ever.
The bottle will be on display at Powers Beer Distributing in Orion Township, but when you see it, it will have a new label.
Nice.
Miller Lite.
Now, what is that label going to be?
Miller Lite. It'll be a white
Miller Lite. I mean, but the reason I think it won't be Miller Lite is that Miller Lite usually pays for all that kind of stuff.
No, yeah, but the thing is, Powers gets all their money from Miller Lite, and they pride themselves on keeping the lights on because of Miller Lite. So if they can promote anything, they'll promote Miller Lite. Out of like the 5.2 million cases of beer they sell, like 3.2 million Miller Lite.
One reason I think they might put Griffin Claw on it, as opposed to us, I see a lot of their sponsorships are actually like, I asked some of the guys at the Detroit Rugby Football Club why they had Griffin Claw. I wondered if anyone worked there or something along that lines that had it on their jerseys. They said, oh no, Powers sponsors us. And they just said nothing about Powers Distributing. It was all just Griffin Claw on it.
Hmm.
I mean, it's kind of a cool logo. Not that you guys don't have a cool logo or anything like that. I don't know. I just think it'd be Miller Lite.
You know, really quickly before Rob goes on to the next, when I was in Florida last weekend, they had a Florida Brewing Company, and the logo looked exactly like Griffin Claw. Just saying. Not my problem.
I'm going to call it
Someone get the lawyers.
Right. Number three.
Go ahead, Rob.
Call it Ravendor.
All right. Nice. So we definitely we've got some turnover happening lately because
like interceptions and fumble turnovers?
Not exactly. So Matt Stafford is not involved with any of these turnovers at all.
Good.
So basically we've got the CEO from Dogfish Head and New Belgium stepping down.
Ooh,
and the head of brewing ops from Surly Brewing stepping down.
Oh, gosh.
So after 2 years, CEO Nick Benz at Dogfish Head is planning on apparently spending time with family and traveling to Belgium. Christine Parrish, from CEO from New Belgium, she is departing according to New Belgium, to pursue other opportunities. She has only been CEO since last October. And then Todd Haug of Surly Brewing, leaving after 10 years to pursue other opportunities and challenges in the industry. Now, you add that to what happened in July with, you know, four execs from Ballast Point who left after their sale to Constellation. And this seems kind of crazy, a year that all of a sudden these people are taking off. I mean, and is this pretty much what do you think this is like this huge executive turnover that is like, is this going to be a trend now?
I wonder if this is like a precursor of something that we might be learning.
Yeah,
in the next few months,
like you bring the company up to make the beer.
Yeah,
and
there
then,
we go. That's going to be the question.
But you know what?
Who bought them?
Yeah, but the thing about New Belgium is they're employee owned. So unless the employees vote to take the buyout from InBev, that's not going to happen. So I agree.
Well, who says it's InBev? Or it can be anybody.
Whomever.
It'll be InBev.
let's be real.
My thought is, like, I would agree with the first two things out of you said that, hey, they left. So maybe there's a struggle in the boardroom. We want to sell. We want to get our buyouts and go. And we want to take that money and, you know, invest in Shark Tank or something like that.
But Shark Tank?
Shark Tank.
Shark Tank. Are we buying into a TV show?
New episodes.
I don't want to do it. Mark Cuban.
Matt's going to replace someone on the panel.
Yeah, no. He's going to replace Mark Cuban.
Yeah. Yeah.
What if there was a beer Shark Tank and everyone brought a 22-ounce bottle and you had to try it and said, yes, we're going to invest in your microbrew.
That'd be tougher than what they do right now.
Yeah, it'd be very hard to do.
That's GABF share.
Yeah, that's like really tough.
I would say
you get Rick's halfpenny on it or something.
My first thought was also, okay, there's probably a struggle in the boardroom. They're going to leave because some want to buy. Some see, you know, the craft bubble leaving, which I think the craft bubble is leaving, but that's a different conversation to have.
Yeah.
But at the same rate, New Belgium's completely employee-owned. So the only way that would happen is if the employees, like the union of the employees, decided to do that. And I don't think they would because they would realize their jobs are going to be shipped to Columbus.
Or they voted her out,
yeah,
which could have also
happened too. It's interesting that, you know, Dogfish Head, that's fairly national. We know that. New Belgium, that's another national brewery. Mm-hmm. They're all over the place. Surly, more probably regional than
– More regional because obviously
national,
we don't get it here.
Because we don't get it here in Michigan.
The regionals are being bought though.
Absolutely.
That's the big trick is you don't buy the big ones yet. You buy the small ones that are regional, and then you can undercut all your competition.
Well,
from the macro scale, and
generally, and you know, in my experience, some of the smaller breweries have some of the best beer available.
Yeah,
that should be the case.
Yeah.
And nobody knows that, these bigger companies buy them and distribute them, so they can find that out.
I mean, the one of the favorites on this show was the coffee bitter that Surly makes. That was a favorite on this show. And
coffee bitter?
Coffee bender.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
No,
you know, I think – no, I mean, Oscar Blues, they took that big loan from – I can't even think of who it is. And now they have a second
– Well, they own Perrin now.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
And now they have a second distributorship, our second brewery in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And now their beer's, you know, a lot bigger.
I don't know.
I mean, what a portfolio. Pinner – or Oscar Blues and Perrin.
Yeah.
Damn, I want to be on top of that pyramid.
Yeah.
That sounds really dirty. I don't know why.
Yeah.
Moving on.
So, y'all like him, Senator?
Oh, I already finished mine. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I finished a good
one. Once more, we got a
we got a growl.
Yeah, we got a butt ton of it. We were out of bottles.
Still got the we got a good grab.
You can say ass.
Yeah, you can say cuss. Yeah.
Oh, no, no. I usually only swear when I don't mean to swear.
I have to find my sin eater.
Usually I'm like, son of a butt toucher. But I'm then like,
butt toucher?
What do we have for segment three? You've got another.
Hold on. Hold on. I still got.
Segment three.
We got 5 minutes, Dan.
You got 5 minutes. No, I was talking about the beer for segment three.
Oh.
You'd have to be segment four.
Segment four is after the show.
That's post show.
Yeah.
In that case, segment.
Post game.
That's like. Segment three, part two.
That's like the 19th hole.
This is segment two.
Yeah. Segment three, part two is
you don't have to crack it yet. Oh, Armageddon, yeah. You don't have to pop it yet.
But. Oh, shit.
No, we're not popping it until you finish the Sin Eater.
Oh, goodness. Yeah. All right. Well.
The whole growler?
The whole growler, yeah.
Oh. Finish it. Right, Nick, start chugging.
Keep drinking, guys.
Are you playing Thunderstruck?
Matt doesn't do
Oh, God, no.
Matt does not do the Belgians.
Absolutely not.
Well, you can play Thunderstruck on for the in-between music.
No, we're going to play that one.
Challenge.
Put a Freebird.
Oh, my God.
Oh, shut up.
Thunderstruck with the...
All right, Rob.
All right, Rob. All right,
let's bring home strong.
One more. Pretty much, I guess you could start with being a slight reference to Maximum Overdrive. Uber has... self-driving truck making its first beer delivery.
I saw this.
Awesome.
Last week, first commercial shipment, of course, not being a Detroit diesel truck, shame on you guys, by a self-driving truck that was made. It made a 120-mile trip across Colorado to deliver 50,000 cans of America. I'm not
Budweiser.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not Budweiser. They want to call themselves America.
Have you had some America in the past?
Actually, we have. You were here for
we did.
So I actually have to.
So this truck,
it's okay.
This truck apparently it is named Otto.
Nice.
OTTO, not AUTO. Uber's self-driving truck subsidiary, and the trucks drive autonomously while the driver can do pretty much any other task. That said motion that Matt is making.
For the people listening, just think about it.
Just don't imagine anything with peanut butter and little dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
Just think of John Henson, the old dog soup, and crank monkeys.
Unfortunately, you know, working for a engine manufacturer that is put in trucks like this, and they get into shops, you'd be surprised what you see in the cab. So I would just leave it at that.
This was clearly
a success. It
clearly was a success because I mean it got there. There's no accidents.
It sounds like it's a lot better than what Google might have been doing.
And pretty much the only thing the driver really has to do is that when it gets in those trickier areas that it has to manage. Obviously,
he has to wake up.
He has to wake up, and he's got to make those corners.
Wasn't Otto the name of the pilot in Airplane? The autopilot in Airplane?
Yes.
The inflatable?
The inflatable. That is right.
Oh my gosh.
And he had a cigarette, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. After what? After what part?
The autopilot.
After he got blown up.
Yep. Didn't his facial expression change in that?
Yes, it did. He had a cigarette and he had a smile on his face.
He was a frowny face and he turned to a smiley face.
I guess it's an interesting trend now that we've been talking about. You know, the world turning into driverless cars in this. And now we have driverless trucks, essentially, that is delivering beer.
Yeah.
And
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's one of your biggest costs, though, is in production is your
delivery
costs for you know.
You're still going to have that, though.
You have 24 people running a ship. And it costs almost nothing to get, you know, like a whole freighter of fish from... like Newfoundland to China, but yeah,
Newfoundland to China. Holy crap!
Yeah, because you can pack so much on it. Your labor is the main.
It's pronounced China.
Yeah, your labor is the main problem. You knock that out, but then you know I think was it a CGP Grey? If you ever follow him, he did a segment on humans need not apply. And it was done with the whole everything's being automated. Humans aren't going to be needed
anymore.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know. I just kind of feel like there's. I mean, if they can figure out a way where the trucks can do stuff like that, where it can make especially those tricky turns that it can't do right now, there's just pretty much limitless, and now everything will be autonomous and will just be delivered.
I'm gonna throw this out there.
Fine.
I'm gonna throw this out there. I mean, we're in the Motor City, so it's different for us.
Yeah.
But what was the last time you saw a car from the '90s on the road?
From the '90s.
Yesterday.
So
an international scout yesterday. Yeah, so,
there's one in my parking lot every day.
I saw a '99 Grand Am on the car on the
saw it today. Neon.
So the issue is, like, we can automate these trucks and cars, but until we can, like, mandate that these cars be autonomous, which it's not for two or three more generations. So, like, the 2100s, yes, maybe, until you can have, like, second and third hand autonomous vehicles.
Well, the Society of Automotive Engineers, SAE, will not make that a standard until what you just said. It's going to be a long – it's going to probably be before any of us see – before we start seeing anything like that.
I think most people will own autonomous, but you're still going to – like it'll be 2040 and we'll still see cars of today on the streets. Third-hand, fourth-hand cars.
I mean
– we're a long way before a party store actually just has – a dedicated delivery person where the truck pulls up.
Do you know why?
But you'll have a drone. A drone immediately, though.
You'll have a drone. Because that party store owner is too lazy to get off his ass and unload the truck himself.
And
just,
did you just call
Jack Lazy?
Yeah, he called Jack Lazy, I think.
Shame on you.
Wait, but Jack with that, we're going to... What party store is Jack?
Zaytuna. That's two plugs.
So okay, but with that, we're going to go ahead and take our second break. We'll be right back with the Better on Draft podcast, episode number 56, with five questions with Matt Bush. Check out Facebook Live. Is that where you're going right now?
Well, I was going to use the restroom, but yeah.
But that, Matt Rombe is going to be on Facebook Live in a minute.
Harambush.
Are you going to Facebook Live while you go to the bathroom?
I hope
not. Oh, I'm scared of that.
Look,
we'll be right back.
We don't need to be kicked off Facebook.
We'll be right back.
Thunderstruck, put it on.
And welcome back to episode number 56. Holy crap, how are we still here? We've been here this long.
It's the Cliff Averill episode.
And Harambush is back.
We've been trying to get kicked out of the studio for a while now.
Have we been actually trying?
I don't know if we're not trying hard enough.
I know my
mom's been trying to get fired from her job.
Kind of interesting. But segment number three brings up some interesting things here.
Do we have the music to go?
Once again, do we have what? Time.
You said we had the music, or no?
I've turned it on. I don't know why it's not playing if you don't hear it.
Is it on mute?
What's love?
No, it's not on music.
All right.
Well, I did exactly what you told me to do, and it's...
Wait, I heard something. Hold on, wait. There we go.
Oh, yeah.
Turn it up a bit.
Turn that up.
Hey, shoot!
With that sneeze from Harambush or whatever.
Harambush.
Take it away, Harambush.
Harambush, it is time.
It's
once
time
again
for
five questions.
Okay, right. Okay, Pillow Talk Guy.
With Matt Bush.
Not typically.
We got 91 minutes for the music, so.
Right. I think we can just use all that.
Yeah.
Keep it playing.
I figured when it said Bush, I would actually go like the commercials for Bush and be Bush.
Is it Bush?
All right, so typically I have a theme for my questions and I
Bush.
Do.
That you do?
I have a theme as well, but the theme is going to be part of the clue for the first question. So we're going to go,
fuck.
Geography is the first question.
Always the first question.
So
Zaire.
That wow. Country doesn't exist
I guess
anymore.
The is it hot where this beer is made?
Wait, that's question three.
That's question three.
The beer hasn't existed in how many years?
Really?
Go.
Shit.
Yeah. No, 17. No, is that question?
17.
No, yeah, it's been more than 17.
All right, so question number one. Question number one.
Yep.
This country of Europe's capital shares its name with a familiar American vegetable.
This country
has a capital, and that capital shares a name with American vegetable.
With American
wouldn't
vegetable.
That be Belgium?
No,
Brussels.
You are correct.
It has to be.
So this is stereotype.
Not spelled the same, but speaking French, so you're obviously from Southern Belgium.
Oui.
Very.
So.
I don't understand Flemish at all. I can at least read French. I can't read Flemish.
Totally. It's easier than French, though. That's the funniest part.
It's easier than French, but just getting the same like alphabet down, at least like there's some cognates involved.
It's so
with
funny.
French.
If you know English, you'll learn Flemish or Dutch better than you'll learn, or quicker than you'll learn French.
Auditorily, but visually, you can grasp things when you're reading a sign in French.
If you can pronounce the UI in Dutch or Flemish, I'll give you $5 right now.
No, I can't.
No. Y'all failed already.
All right. So, y'all. We're sticking with the Belgian theme because we brought Dragon Meat on, so I figured let's do Belgium as a theme. So, according to the makers of the beautiful Gordon Carolus, the people at Mechelen's Brewery, the best time to fully appreciate a beer is when?
Best time.
Oh,
to
Jesus.
Okay,
that
so
sounds extremely specific.
I'm going to give you a couple.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's said that assuming that you have risen at a normal hour, that's when you're
lunch.
Assuming that you have risen at a normal hour, it's when you're
Dan's lost it.
Yeah, that's a great answer. About 10 a.m.
So it's let give you the clue. Their reasoning behind it.
Well, a Belgium rise early is probably about 10 a.m. Probably.
You're, nice. Hold on, so your pal had.
I want to wake that.
You're kind of wrong, so I'm gonna elaborate for you.
Oh, they don't start shit until like 11 o'clock there.
Assuming you have risen at a normal hour, it's when your palate has sufficiently cleared the flavors of coffee, breakfast, and toothpaste, making it the perfect time to savor some suds.
1 o'clock.
1:30. Or sorry, 13:30.
13:30.
The European
1300.
That's the rest of the world, yes. I can't disagree with that. That's a good guess. Yeah, it's,
well, according to the Belgians, the best time to drink beer is 11 a.m.
Oh, damn. I said 10.
They wake up at like 10.
They wake up at, yeah, so it's
you know, all right. Come to think of it, when I was in France, actually, back in July, I was making fun of someone drinking a beer at 10:30 a.m. So apparently I'm not.
Why are you making fun of someone drinking a beer?
Because I'd been up for 24 hours. Like, what is this guy doing? Like,
there's a reason why.
He was a little loopy in the
head. Yeah.
There's a reason why Founders makes a breakfast stout. Why Weyermacher makes
when
a
I
Sunday
about
morning
it, like,
stout.
I wish I was
I
doing
make
that.
Coffee beers for that reason.
Exactly. But it would have been bad news if I was drinking it at that time.
So 11 a.m.
actually makes sense now. No, I agree.
I love a coffee beer.
So we're gonna play this game.
All right, here
we have Name That Beer in front of you.
Name that beer.
So,
Corona.
I'm gonna guess. I'm gonna let you guys sip this beer. You have two questions and one guess as to the beer in front of you.
Is it hot where this beer is made?
Define hot. Like, is
like,
it warm?
Most of the time.
This tastes
tropical?
Pretty familiar.
I'm pretty sure this is Corona. Or Pacifico. Or one of those other Mexican Modelo products.
So we need it.
Is it brewed by Modelo?
Yes.
Yeah, let's go with that.
Okay.
Question. All right.
Hold on, what now?
It is brewed by Modelo.
How many syllables are in the name?
No, hold on.
No.
Here's the better one.
It has to be a yes or no question.
Because I think I know what it is, too. Is there a five-letter word in the name?
Yes.
Are you going to think of Corona Light?
Corona Light?
Corona Extra.
Or Corona Extra?
Corona Extra. I'm 100% sure on this.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure we had this on the show before. Actually.
It tastes like Corona, and I actually enjoy this beer a lot, too.
Are you double dipping on us? Have we had this beer before? Oh, we have a
question. He double dipped last week.
That was the second question.
Because he double dipped because we had the Natty Daddy.
He wasn't on the show at that point.
It could be Tecate. T-A-C-A-T.
Tecate Extra.
Is there a Tecate Extra?
I have no idea.
There's a Tecate Light, though, by the way.
Oh, there is? L-I-G-H-T or L-I-T-E? So, yeah, you screwed up in that question.
Because
I think Miller Lite only has the L-I-T-E version of it.
There's our two questions, so.
This is other Tecate.
Here's
Corona.
A legit question.
It's a Mexican beer.
We can ask if we have
no, you've
this
already
on the
had
show before.
You've already had two questions.
No.
There is a Tecate Light.
Is it warm?
L-I-G-H-T.
Is it warm?
Oh, no. I was thinking around.
He asked if it was made by Modelo.
I'm going to trump everyone. I'm saying Corona Extra.
Actually, I'm in 100% agreement with that one.
I'll stick with him.
I'm with it, too.
Yep. All right.
You double-dipped on us. You brought this before.
I tried. Well, the last time I brought it, it wasn't identified because I gave the wrong answer.
Oh, that's so, right. I forgot
because
about
that.
That.
Yeah, that was the one where we asked him if it had five letters. You said no.
So I thought if I brought it, maybe it would be too familiar to, but you're like, he wouldn't bring that again. So I
that
tried.
Is way like above what you've brought the last few weeks. Like,
God, I mean,
good Lord.
I do enjoy that beer, especially out of the can. We did an experiment at the Siebel where we had half a case that we bought wrapped in tinfoil and let outside for 5 minutes, and the rest of the case just in the sun. In 5 minutes, the beer was skunked. That wasn't in the tinfoil. Yeah. You can eat, you can taste incredibly how much the beer can skunk in a short amount of time.
So question number four. Yeah. You guys are doing great. You are 2 for 3 so far.
What was the third one that we missed?
Oh, he's talking about the time.
The beer was
that
number
we
three.
The three, yeah.
We just throw an extra.
But we missed
the time. The best time for beer?
Oh, okay. Well, that's
all right. This is a true or false. So you have a 50-50 chance of going 3 out of 4. According to Belgian purity laws,
there's no such thing.
According
they
to
ferment a shoe if they could.
According to mademan.com, there are Belgian purity laws. Farmers are prohibited to have male plants in their field. Male hop plants in their field.
Male?
The fuck?
Hop plants.
No, that's false. You can't harvest them, but you got to have some there in order to reproduce them.
I'm going with Spencer.
Yeah, I gotta say.
He jumped on way too fast.
Yeah.
That is actually true.
How do you have reproducing plants without a male presence in there?
The bees. The bees that aren't being killed in Belgium. I don't know. I'm just...
That'll be for another year or two in there. We'll have to switch that up.
Yeah, protest.
All right.
I mean, I get where the question's at. You know, you don't want to ever harvest a male plant, but...
Hmm. I copied and pasted this, so we're two for four.
Your Google search sucks.
if you don't like my words, go to mademan.com and leave them threatening comments
why it takes me 2 hours to write questions for Sporkle, because I am researching everything.
So we talked about the beer pipeline in Belgium a couple of weeks ago.
The one in Bruges?
Yes.
Yeah.
Bruges, that brewery?
Yeah.
All right. How much would a gold membership cost you, which would get you one free bottle of beer a day for the rest of your life? Ooh. A gold membership. Now, I'm going
to
give you...
To that brew.
Yes.
Okay. 5,000 euro.
So I'm going to... Before you just jump on a number.
Okay, well...
I'm going to give you an over-under of 10%. So you could be 10% wrong, and I'm going to go ahead and count it.
So saying 5,000 euro.
And this is in euro.
This is in euros as well.
For some reason, I want to make sure of that.
How many euros do you have to
pesos.
Contribute? I did not convert this to dinar.
It's just in lira.
Are these real?
I still have a box of lira. Right.
These are not in coroners. And let's stop talking
rupees,
about... No, okay.
Corona?
Yeah.
This is not in coronas either.
This is not in coronas.
All right, so you have to give this many euros to get... one free bottle of beer a day. However,
every day for the rest of your life.
However, you have to go to the brewery to get the bottle of beer. You cannot just have it delivered to you.
Is this a real thing?
It is.
Oh, 15,000 euro.
All right, so right now, just because I can, the current exchange rate is one American dollar for 0.91 euros.
Really? Hold on.
It's 1.1 euro to
close.
1 US dollar.
Yeah.
That's pretty close.
Yeah, it's
been years since
it's come down quite a bit.
We're doing good, pretty good.
It's been
right
3 or 4 years since it was anywhere up above 12. 1.12 to 1 for
we're
the US.
We're number 2.
It's the one that's crashed is the British pound.
Yeah,
is the one that's crashed. Nick, if you want to look that up. When I was there 2 years ago.
Time to buy property.
It was 141, wasn't it?
It was 1.55.
Well, at one point, and we'll get back on the topic. The pound was like one American dollar for 2 British pounds. Or something.
That was about 10 years ago.
I remember
before
it was
Brexit
up there.
In 2014. Yeah. It was like 1.55.
The British pound is at one American dollar for 0.82.
Thanks,
yeah,
Obama.
Which means it's on pace with the euro, which means you can now go there. When I went there before, I spent £25 and I all of a sudden spent $50. I was like, oh, what did I just do?
A beer costs you $10 and that's just like a regular like pint of courage bitter or something.
He's like, £5.50 or whatever. Like, yeah, pence.
Pence.
You're like, $11.
I thought we weren't being political.
What? I'm not talking about Mike Pence.
Oh, okay. Just making sure.
All right. So, how many euros do you have to spend to get one free bottle of beer for the rest of your life? However, you do have to walk to the brewery to get it.
15,000.
15,000
euros?
So that gives you between...
Is this
13...
in euro?
Yes. That what we're talking about? You have 10%. Yeah. So he's at 16.5 to 13.5.
Someone actually paid this money to do this. I hope you never move.
I mean, you're in Europe, like in the Eurozone, I mean, and you never move.
15,000 euros. That's a lot of money.
That's a lot of money, but it's kind of promotion shit. Like
that's almost a little over $16,000 a month.
Yeah, I know. I'm sitting way, for some reason, I don't know why, but I'm just like sitting way lower than that.
$1, Bob?
$1, Bob. $1. I mean, I guess I'm kind of close. I mean, I don't know. I've never been to Europe. From what I've always seen, has been like cheap as all hell down there. I'm like sitting probably.
Cheap as all hell where?
I have no idea. That's the problem. I've never been there.
1,000 euros?
I'm like somewhere between 1,000 and 2.
All right. So you guys are on the wings of this, the actual answer. So you guys need to have a come to Jesus moment and meet in the middle somewhere.
1,500?
You're gonna ask a bunch of atheists to come to Jesus?
Come to Jeebus?
We are not a religious show, people. Do not panic.
Hey, I follow the Buddha, bro.
I mean, if we're gonna go Adult Swim and like go like come to Black Jesus moment,
I follow the Church of the NFL.
Charlie Murphy's right? In that show. Hold on.
Actually, I talk.
Even though I have problems with that church.
Yeah, I know.
I talked to Korean Jesus
Fuck
myself.
Roger Goodell.
Dear 8 pounds 6 ounces, tiny little baby.
Dear 8 pounds 6 ounces. Baby Jesus.
All right.
So if we just meet in the middle, we say 1,500. 10% up and down.
Well, we've said
15,000 and 6,000.
I already said 15,000.
You said 15. I said 1 okay. to 2. So I'd start, so like, say like 7.
A, I like 6.
But Matt seven. Was pointing to Rob. Like, he was like, it's like around that area right there.
I said he was way off, and he says, I'm going to bring it down. I'm trying to help you guys not go under 500 for the first time ever in 5 questions.
Yeah, but I mean, if we go Price is Right rules, we still win if we don't go over.
Then do like,
you get 10% like, either way.
Someone get a 3,000 bet, someone do a 6,000.
We got to choose on the answer.
I like Rob's a whole 6,000. I have no clue.
Yeah, I know.
Neither do I. Because what is it? An average beer, like a bar, is like what, $5-6, maybe.
But you're thinking it makes sense.
Yeah, I know. And the thing is, things don't make sense.
Membership never makes sense.
Yeah, hey,
you're never actually going to make your money's
what
worth.
What brewery is doing
for
this?
For some reason, I feel Brew's like they make it up with sales from everybody else.
Or Half Moon Brewery, I'd imagine, right? Brew's Zot.
It's the brewery that's building a pipeline from its distribution center to its brewery.
That'd be Brew's Zot for that.
So,
or Half Moon.
So you're going between 6,000. So you're choosing 6,000, which goes between 6,600 and 5,400.
That's a good choice.
Sure, why not?
The actual answer is.
It's not delirium.
You dropped your can.
Delirium's
can
not
drop.
The one building there.
7,500 euros, the bottom floor of that would have been 6,750.
We are just off.
Just a bit outside.
And for those of you keeping track at home, that's just a little over $8,200 American.
$2 for 5.
Yeah, don't sweat the exchange rate between euro and US dollar.
You're pretty quick on that conversion right there, bro.
I got Google to thank on that one.
Thanks, Sergey and Elon.
Well, what you call it, the Bitcoin's like worthless now.
No, the Bitcoin shot up over the last year.
Well, wait, was it one American dollar?
I thought it was like $600 for a dollar.
No, one American dollar in Bitcoin.
The Bitcoin has bounced back from being about 200 US dollars to about 450.
One American dollar equals 0.0014 Bitcoin.
You got to
hold
talk
on.
The other
no,
way,
yeah, go
What's
the other
what
way.
Bitcoin for an American
yeah,
dollar?
Yeah, you're going to be shocked.
The other way?
It's bounced back ridiculous.
Because I saw like a year and a half ago, 660 Bitcoin.
Well, that was the top.
So one Bitcoin is now equal to $689.98.
You know what it was worth a year ago? About $200. So the Bitcoin has bounced back.
That is a hell of a bounce back.
It bounced back
Thanks
from
Obama.
The U.S. regulate. It was right? The U.S. tried to regulate it.
I had
and
a buddy
bounced.
That bought weed with Bitcoin when it was worth like equal with a dollar.
That's the way to do it.
And well, he would be like way. A millionaire now if he just did it.
If you got into Bitcoin in the early days, you would be a millionaire right now.
Damn right.
But it's amazing how they actually like. Build Bitcoin. They have these massive mathematical problems to harvest.
Well, here's how it works.
Well, I know how it works.
Okay, so you know it's a mathematical equation
to
harvest it.
Yeah.
And it gets progressively harder.
Yeah.
Which the whole thing, a lot of places have shut down because of how complicated the
because
formula
you need super
the equation of exactly.
You need hundreds of supercomputers working in parallel together
yep.
to generate enough processing speed in order to solve.
But Nick, you said your question to work in parallel is the best way. Yeah, your NBA told you.
I know, but the thing is, you need multiple of these machines in order to do it.
Each time a Bitcoin is farmed, it's 25 Bitcoin, and it gets split out between every process that happened to mine that, and it gets more complicated. You might know the formula, Nick. You're more of a math
guy
than I am.
The thing I have not had the opportunity to do is read the white paper on it. They call it a white paper because
Eventually, a lot of places have shut down. They used to farm out, like you could buy processing to farm Bitcoin. So yes. I would pay someone and I would own part of the processing to do that.
It's like Lemmings from like 1994 and SNES, right?
I mean, I think
if only money was involved.
Wow. I think Morgan Spurlock did a documentary on that. He did that.
CNN.
Yeah, see, he was a Bitcoin farmer for a day. And he got paid for a day's worth of work, and it was like $200-$300.
Actually, he went to like four different Bitcoin farmers. Boutique shop to like the hugest thing, and then he actually bought Bitcoin.
Okay.
He bought like a third of a Bitcoin or whatever he could afford at the Bitcoin like exchange. It's literally an auctioneer, still in one of those straw paper hats.
Yeah.
Who's like, who's going to pay more? He's the only one standing from this auctioneer. He's like, just sell me the damn Bitcoin. I'm the only one.
At one point, you could have a farm of USB miners, or you could be using GUI farmers, which would be like taking video cards and setting up video card farmers to do it. It's gotten to the point where you can't do that anymore, so it's growing to like you have to have a bigger organization.
They got to switch it back to where like it has to be problems that only humans can solve.
Well, no, because Bitcoins are finite.
Is she pissed off?
You're eventually mine every Bitcoin that's available, so it's eventually
going
to run out.
This is going way farther than my master's in information systems can handle.
This got like we started with Castlebright and we ended with Bitcoins.
Right.
So for the last
on Better on Draft, we talk about fruit beers and Bitcoin.
If Ken would do yell at me and the Podesta emails came up, we'd be talking about that for 2 hours.
Do you want to finish off with Grand Cru?
Last 9 minutes, let's go back to Dragon Age.
I
say Podesta emails and everyone cringes. Am I
No more Better on Bitcoin.
No more Better on Politics.
Yeah.
So AKA Rob.
So Spencer, we've talked about craft beer for most of the show. What are some of your guilty pleasures?
Guilty pleasure beer.
Oh, we never asked this.
Labatt Light.
Labatt Light.
Labatt Light is clearly a guilty pleasure of mine. I drink the living shit.
You want me to turn the music?
I drink a lot of Labatt Light. I have like two cases in my fridge right now.
Nice.
Biggest thing, it actually, I race sailboats for a hobby.
Oh, yes. Damn. That sounds
and,
America's Cup over there.
absolutely love it. It drives me nuts, but,
Besides the brewers that you're working with right now, is there anybody that you'd like to work with, whether it's in Michigan or another craft brewer?
It's kind of a weird question.
Or is there somebody else's beers that you really appreciate or really enjoy that you want?
There's a lot of Michigan beers I really appreciate. Pretty much everyone everyone in the state is doing a fantastic job. Mm. Or for the most part, everyone that I'm trying out. Everyone's trying really hard. Everyone's making some fantastic strides.
Now, being that you've been in the industry since Dragon Meat, at least since they started in 97, one of the topics that we always talk about on the show is the bubble, the craft beer bubble. Do you think there's one coming?
Oh, for sure. Oh, we've actually made our calculations for the bubble, expecting that that's going to be the case.
We're going to pass this
you
down.
You might be the first brewery person to admit that there is going to be a bubble.
There's going to be a bubble.
There for sure is a bubble. There's no doubt that there's going to be some way of it. And what we know right now is that we are to the point where we have finally surpassed the number of breweries that existed pre-prohibition.
Yep. Yes. We talk about that a lot.
But we are nowhere near the brewery per capita that existed. So you know, there's X number of people in the world back then. So the brewery per person ratio is still a little bit less.
Sure.
I don't know. Matt's on the internet.
Are you like talking on the YouTube videos on the fucking radio?
He was showing the Facebook
last
live.
Six more minutes.
Exactly.
Okay. Wait a minute, bro. So we know eventually that things are going to explode. The idea of having real beer out and being commonplace is going to drive a lot of people into the industry, and some of the beer is not going to be good. Yeah. People are going to finally get fed up with
that.
And we're going to have a big buyout of all the breweries from the big breweries. Mm-hmm. They're going to try to undercut every brewery. The lower ones that are small enough are going to survive in the local scale.
Mm-hmm.
The ones that are just big enough are going to be bought out by Miller and Bev, et cetera. And they're going to try to undercut the medium breweries like us.
Huh.
And if we can survive long enough through
the buyout portion.
And because everyone's getting really into beer, and it's a great thing.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that people get into beer, but they are knowledgeable enough as well to know what's a good beer and not just a beer that's trying to undercut someone from
some of the mass-produced
right.
So let's talk – what did you just pour and let's talk
about it? I just poured Armageddon Grand Cru. It's our we make this beer once a year. It's one of my favorite beers. We usually use two mashings to make this one beer.
Why is that?
Not triple mashed like that New Holland.
New Holland.
Oh, yeah, no. I do one mashing.
That was bad.
The first mashing in. And I actually pour the second mashing into a beer we call Wenchwater, which is the second runnings from two mashings. The idea originally was that the second runnings and the third runnings were the workers' beer in early Belgian kind of culture. But we do two mashings to get the gravity up high enough. This one's a little bit stronger than Sin Eater. Very few things are, but this one is it.
I say, what's the ABV clock in?
About 11 and a half.
11 and a half.
Centimeters 11.
That is perfect for
this. This is a quad, correct?
It's a Belgian style quad. It's a very it's not dark. If you guys weren't barbarians and drank out of red cups,
we were savages.
We only deal with what we have.
Savages.
This is savage land. You'd see a really golden hue to it, as opposed to the Senator like black, oily kind of color to it. And the idea is that you don't want any hop impression, but we heavily hop this beer.
Right.
The idea is to make it so balanced that you can't taste the hop and you can't taste the alcohol, but you can taste just this little caramely tinge.
Yes.
That's
it. Very good.
And that's what we strive for at that point.
Now, we've had a couple quads on this show. We've had the Miso Ornery.
I've had the
Weyerbacher 20th anniversary, and it's just like way – it seems like it's way so
– it's hardcore, man.
It's like over-carbonated.
Yeah. Knowing what I know now about Grand Cru, this is pretty mellow
pretty good for
a quad.
Well, the
ABV content as high as it is.
It should taste as mellow as possible.
I think you nailed it.
Yeah. Our idea is balance. No matter what we do, we want it to be drinkable.
Mm-hmm. Is that kind of how you approach all your beer?
With some of our IPAs, we intentionally go over, but we know we're going over.
Sure. Yeah.
We never try to jack anything up and make it undrinkable. We want every beer to be a pleasurable experience.
It's just like intentionally mild, but at the same time.
But it's strong as hell if you're not paying attention.
Exactly.
If
you have a couple of these, it's going to knock you on your ass.
Exactly. This is like Molotov cocktail heavy, dangerous.
Yeah. Uber.
That it's just like you drink that and it's like, oh man, this is really good. And then 30 minutes later, it's, oh man, I better bring up the Uber app because I'm not driving.
We figured
use the coupon code better on draft.
Right.
Yeah.
That does exist.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
It does.
There you go.
We figured the definition of a good Belgian beer is that you don't notice you're drunk until you get off of your bar stool after the
after you're behind the wheel 2 miles down.
After
on your bike.
Halfway through your third beer, when you get up and say, whoa.
Yeah.
You hit that coal there.
You start going to the bathroom. And, oh, wait.
And it's,
oh, God, I got to hold on to the wall.
Right.
You should not know how strong something is. You know, it should taste really pure, really drinkable, really easy to drink beverage.
Right.
How long has the Grand Cru been around for?
1997.
Since the beginning.
Nicely.
How long did it take?
Oh, so hold on, because we got a minute, about a minute left. Do you want to plug anything for the brewery?
North Center Brewing.
Well,
North Center Brewing.
Oh, you
North
beat me to it.
Go ahead and do that.
North Center Brewing and North Center Road in North Fimo.
Northville.
But North Center Brewing. North Center Brewing. North Center Brewing. Plug in anything for the brewery and if you got coming up.
Stop on in. Try up our X beers. We're always coming up with new stuff. We don't
the London Brown.
The London Brown. We always have
Eric the Red.
Eric the Red. We have a whole lot of light, medium, and heavy beers in every dimension, in every direction. We try to make. My theory is that everyone loves beer.
Yes.
If they don't love beer, they haven't tried a beer they like yet. And right. Our goal is to make it.
Is Ring of Fire on tap right now?
Ring of Fire is on tap. I actually just transferred three more kegs into the sidebar.
And I'm not talking about Johnny Cash Ring of Fire. I'm talking about Ring of Fire. If you want something that'll burn your mouth, stop over at Dragon Mead.
I'm not a fan of spice, but if I have some Thai food or something, I love to drink it with it. Like,
oh, gosh.
I have friends that drink pint by pint of that, and I don't know how the hell they do it.
All right.
But I love that beer.
That's going to do it for episode number 56 of the Playground Draft. Spencer, thanks for coming out.
Thanks
for having me. A lot of good times. Glad to have you guys on.
Thank you.
A while. It took us over a year to get you here. So what's our
whatever you think about your beer, we think it's Better on Draft.
I can never remember that.
See you next week.
Thank you.